Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, October 30th, 2019. One day from the best day of the year. My name's Greg Miller, and this is the Rogue One, Gary Whitta.
Good morning. We're a little bit late this morning. What's
well, you
up
were
that?
Telling us such fascinating stories.
That was not the reason. That was not the reason why we were late.
Talking about your weird ass Game Boy, the Jared over
the play,
here.
The play date. Oh yeah, exactly. as we're now calling it, the Jared.
And you, of course, I was on vacation. You and Kevin were catching me up on the Game Boy that's doing the high end Game Boy games.
Oh, that's right, because you weren't here.
I've been.
Yeah, was it Kevin? Was it Imran that was on? And Kevin's like, what?
When
that ridiculous $200 Game Boy was
kind
on here, I signed up for. That was me and Imran, wasn't it?
That sounds right. I think I was here.
I think I've only hosted with Imran lately. Yeah. I haven't hosted with anyone else other than you, only Imran.
It's because we're the best.
It's nice to have you back.
It's good to be here.
And this is the last, well, I guess, one more time tomorrow you get to wear this.
Well, no. Well, if everything goes right, I'm going to be in costume tomorrow.
Oh, really? Is that a secret?
It is a secret. Okay. I'll just say, tomorrow's in your hands. And then you started talking about you pre-ordered those fancy AirPods.
Yeah, just
your dog ate your other AirPods. Right,
so I got AirPods when they first came out, and I quite liked them. And then my dog got, I don't even know how this happened, but one day I go into my office and one of my AirPods is on the floor.
Yeah,
and it had the shit chewed out of it, like it was chewed to bits.
Yeah,
covered in dog saliva.
Yeah,
didn't need Sherlock Holmes to crack that one.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
And of course one AirPod on its own is no good. So like, I don't want to just buy a new set. Like at some point Apple will come out with some fancy new ones, and I'll jump back in then. And they came out with these new ones that have noise canceling.
Yeah.
And I travel a lot these days. I'm on airplanes a lot.
You're going
and
to LA working on that DC movie.
I've been going to LA. I've been going to strangely everywhere but LA. I've been San Diego, yeah. TwitchCon.
Sure.
Silicon Valley Comic Con down in San Jose.
Yeah.
Seattle for PAX.
Yeah.
And just recently, I just got back from Austin, the Austin Film Festival. Oh, so I've been flying all over everywhere but LA.
Hobnobbing.
Yeah. And I think I might be going to New York next week.
Oh really?
So I got on these
working on a play.
Well, on these deathly no, there's movies out there as well.
Nah.
On these deathly long. What do you do to amuse yourself on a long plane
Switch.
Ride? Just play video games.
Yeah, I did Luigi's Mansion out to Toronto for EGLX, and then I did email on the way back from New Jersey.
How's Luigi's Mansion? I've been real hearing good things.
Yeah, real good. It's cute. It's delightful. It's a delightful little game. You know what I mean? Not challenging, but it's fun. Do you want to see? You want to go?
Is it very much like the original GameCube game?
I mean, it's a step up from that for sure. But yeah.
But the same. Vibe.
Yeah, exactly. Same vibe at all. You should play with your daughter.
There's
co-op in it.
She's a little worried it might be a little bit too scary for her.
Oh, it's not. No, no.
Okay.
The boos are the scariest thing, you know what I mean?
Right. And Guiji.
Guiji, I thought I'd hate. Like Guiji a lot. I like the puzzles with him.
I love
it.
Yeah, you know me. I'm a big Luigi.
You love Goo.
I'm a big Luigi fan. Yeah. I've always been a big Luigi guy. When they did that year of Luigi.
I've known you
when they did that year
a decade, Gary, and I would never. You know me.
No, really?
I'm a big Luigi guy.
If you play any Mario game with me, Mario Party, Mario Kart, any kind of. I'll always pick Luigi. Mm-hmm. I don't think he gets enough credit.
Sure.
When they did that year of Luigi. I liked the effort year that they Luigi. Did with year of Luigi, but I don't think they went far enough.
They didn't
enough.
Nail it. No,
it felt
sure.
like paying lip service to Luigi.
100%. This game's great. You should play it.
So when Luigi gets his own game, I like that they at least gave him his own little side franchise.
Sure. Sucks he's always terrified in it, but I digress. Let's talk instead about the Call of Duty numbers, how there's Call of Duty controversy, then the PlayStation 4 is now the second best-selling console of all time because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindafunnygames. If you can go there. You can give us your questions, comments, concerns, everything under the video game sun. Then tune in to watch us live, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. Tomorrow is Halloween, and that means it's the Halloween hellscape. The Kinda Funny World Championship is on the line in our first ever pay-per-view. We promised it at, January on our Patreon fundraising. It's here. It's Halloween Hellscape. You can watch it live as it on a YouTube premiere, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames at 4 p.m. Pacific tomorrow. Of course, that video will just be up then forever on YouTube, though, so you can watch it at your leisure. See who wins the Kind of Funny World title.
Will you all be in costume?
There's many a costume in that as well. Right. Yeah, you would have known if you hadn't walked out on it.
Oh, well, that was a different thing, wasn't it?
That's this. We taped
recorded it. Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. It's not live. All right.
No. Oh,
I could. Oh, that's right. I could have been a part of that.
Yeah, you fucked this.
Yeah, I was too busy. Yeah,
this is why you'll never get to compete for the championship again. Extra Life is Saturday. That's right. This Saturday, 24 hours of games for charity. You can join our team at kindoffunny.com/extralife. On the day, you can go there to donate. Of course, you can watch live, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We'll begin hosting the Kind of Extra Life, Kind of Funny team, Extra Life, whatever you want to call it, the Extra Life team, community streams right after Kind of Funny Games Daily on, no, what do we, what? The screencast is Friday. No, Terminator in Review is Friday. Right after Terminator in Review on Friday, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames for a weekend of people playing games to help the big.
Now, I noticed
kids.
That I haven't been invited to that.
Joey and I are finally planning it today. So, do you want to come by?
Maybe. It's nice to be invited. It's nice to be wanted.
You're always wanted, Gary. It's an open invitation.
You know, I have a rule. I don't show up at someone's door without an invitation.
You bitched about not competing for the championship. I invited you to compete for the championship.
No, you invited me to be a commentator. You asked me to wear a suit. I thought you wanted me there as like a color man or like a hype man.
Hey, you know what? The commentators who ended up commentating for it, they ended up participating. All right.
I mean, there's no point in me commenting. I'm not good enough at video games. So I'm just going to embarrass myself.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I'm better on the sidelines.
Thank you to our Patreon producers, Blackjack and Mohammed. Today, we're brought to you by Escape the Invasion and Quip, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news.
What was that?
It's low key. Kevin's giving 15% over there. Five stories of
low
the Roper
energy
Report.
Kevin over there.
It's like a baker's dozen.
It is like a baker's dozen, Kevin. Number one on the Roper Report. It turns out people were really excited for Call of Duty Modern Warfare. They report Activision's Call of Duty Modern Warfare had more than $600 million in sell-through worldwide in its first 3 days of release. The title has sold more units in its first 3 days than any other Call of Duty game sold in its first 3 days in this console generation, and is the top-selling new premium game release of 2019. Modern Warfare also established a new record as the number one top-selling digital opening in Activision history. With its blockbuster launch in its first 3 days of release, Call of Duty Modern Warfare more than doubled the box office opening of Joker. What a out of the blue. All right, cool. We're giving you good numbers about video games. Then just pop. Let's just sock the biggest movie in it just to try to make a point.
Well, like, I mean, it's nice to put it into some context.
I get it. Your game costs $60. My Joker ticket costs $11. But I digress.
Right.
I feel like Joker on a way smaller scale.
Rated R. Well, I guess it's M.
It's the biggest rated R movie, but like, you know what I mean? Like, that's not like.
But isn't it the number one movie in America right now, or am I wrong about that?
It might be, but it's also like October. You know, it's not like a good month for number one. Let's see December what the number one movie is.
It's just a funny swing of like out of the blue.
Cats! Don't rule out Cats!
Definitely rule out Cats!
We should go see Cats.
I'm in.
We should go see it on opening day.
If I get a screener pass to go see it, you want to come?
Yeah.
You have to go. You have to be on screencast then, though.
You got to be on screen.
I'll do it.
You got to flip the S and the T at the end and make it screen cats.
I'm in.
Oh my god, that was really good, Gary. That was really, really. That was really
you got to. You got to. You got to. You got to revise that logo, Kevin.
I love it. Yeah.
Get Andy on it. Get him working right now.
Yeah, exactly. Have him cancel his work today. Back to the story. Modern Warfare set new records on the PlayStation Network for the highest digital pre-orders and highest three-day digital sales ever on PlayStation 4. Modern Warfare also has become the number one top-selling Call of Duty PC launch ever, as opening weekend PC sales on Blizzard Battle.net were significantly up over last year.
I'm not kidding. I want to come on Screen Cats.
I know you. I didn't right. think. No one thought you were kidding. No one thought
Lock
you were kidding.
I'm here. Candace is going out live. I can't take it back. Screenshot this. Clip it.
Yeah,
Screencast.
When we get closer to Screencast, everybody
screen
remind cats. Them.
It's happening. Ah.
Yeah, wow. Wow. Jeez. God, Corey, you go ahead and get ready on that. Whenever that. Modern Warfare, where are you at with it?
You know, I have a lot of thoughts on this. None of them particularly interesting or salient, but whatever. It's a Wednesday. Number one thing I've said, if you go back over the years, you probably find a bunch of clips of me on here and Giant Bomb, other outlets that I've been on over the years,
sure,
saying sooner or later Call of Duty fatigue is going to set in. The franchise can't go on forever. People are going to get bored. No sign of it, right? It's bigger than ever.
Yeah, well, is it bigger than ever? That's what I was trying to find. Earlier, I had seen on Twitter somebody doing the comparison of how it all ran down. If you can find that for me, kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, so I can bring it up.
It says the best-selling one of this generation. But we're at the end of this generation.
Sure.
This has been a long generation.
But I do think that, like, it's been not a rockier thing, but they have lost some momentum as they've gone through in terms of what they are.
I mean, if you think about the franchise across all of the generations, is it at its peak now, or did it? I imagine it probably did peak somewhere back.
I would say 360 days is
like Modern Warfare,
like,
2.
Remember, yeah,
somewhere like
no,
that.
No, even before, beyond that, right? But because
what do you
well,
think?
Maybe I don't remember. I'm not even gonna say what the biggest was, but remember, Call of Duty for me personally in the 360 era is the same way Madden used to be. Remember when it was like Madden Day, and that was like an event that Madden was coming out? Oh my God, everybody's so stoked. Call of Duty is the same way, and they'd run those trailers with like celebrities in them and everybody else playing them, and like they had more money than God, and every time it was the biggest entertainment launch of all time.
Well, maybe someone you're wrong can tell us, A, what's the actual peak, you know, of the Modern Warfare franchise kind of economically, and how far off that is this? Because maybe it is in decline, I don't know, but I mean, obviously, this is nothing but a positive story for Activision right now.
Oh, yeah,
now.
No, I'm not
been
taking
a
away from
generation.
How well it's doing right
here. Obviously sold super-duper-duper well. I gave this a lot of grief when they first announced it, you know, just redoing Modern Warfare. I'm like, it's kind of like they're officially out of ideas, so they're going to reset the Matrix and hope no one notices.
Yeah.
Let's just go back to the beginning. But I got to say, I'm actually going to be playing this, twitch.tv/GaryWitter, playing Modern Warfare tonight on the stream for the first time.
Wow.
On PC, ray tracing, ultra settings, all of that stuff. I don't know how this happened, but I've been tuned out of the Call of Duty franchise for years. Didn't play Black Ops 4.
Sure.
Didn't care about whatever the one before that was.
Well, it didn't happen because the fatigue was real.
Yeah.
I'm interested in this as well. We have a question later on about
one recaptured people's interest?
This one's doing something different. I think we're doing this story, and it's, well, first off, there's a
the campaign is back.
The campaign's been getting good reviews. Yeah, exactly. It's different and it's grounded and it's
just
things. There we go.
Do you think that people are also just happy about like the back to basics, like Infinity Warfare? What was it? Infinite Warfare or whatever? When
they were going into space and doing
crazy Advanced Warfare, when they were doing crazy, like it was kind of venturing into sci-fi, almost like Halo territory. And I think people just want their like contemporary Jack Ryan kind of cutting edge techno thriller stuff, right? They just want the modern warfare, and Activision's gone back to basics, and maybe that's what they've wanted all along.
Yeah, I think so. I think they wanted to get back to more grounded boots on the ground stuff, and I think the story being interesting is great, and that's it. I think the multiplayer, people are going to buy Call of Duty multiplayer no matter what it is, whenever it is.
Good news for people who like, because after Black Ops 4 came out and did, I don't know how well, but it did well, and they didn't have a story campaign, I was worried that might be, you know, another big story campaign franchise that, you know, anytime like a big franchise says we're just not going to do story anymore, I feel like that's bad for story in games overall. But it's back, and Modern Warfare is the most successful Call of Duty of this generation, and people are really praising the story campaign. Maybe this is good. This is a
good
thing for people that like story in
games.
Turns
out people do want
single-player games,
right?
Yeah. I'm going to try the 32-on-32 ground war thing.
Yeah.
But I don't have a lot of interest in playing Modern Warfare multiplayer, because I know I'm just going to get the shit kicked out of me by 12-year-olds.
Here we go. All right. Thank you very much to both the nanobiologist and Lord of Pwn for helping out here with what it was.
All right, give us the data.
The tweet I was from Daniel Ahmad, who will show up here later. Obviously, ZHUGX, who we talk about all the time on the show. How does this Call of Duty launch compare... Let me try this again. How does this compare to other Call of Duty launches in the first 3 days, right? Because we already said 600 million sell-through in 3 days, right?
Right.
Here's how it goes. Black Ops 4, 500 million. World War 2, 500 million. Infinity Warfare.
Oh, that's right. World War 2.
Warfare, never existed.
Do they have a number on it?
I don't know if it was. They just never, ever put it out.
It was bad, right?
Black Ops 3, $550 million. Advanced Warfare, no number for 3 days. Ghosts, no number for 3 days. Black Ops 2, $500 million in 1 day.
Wow.
Modern Warfare 3, $400 million in 1 day. Black Ops, $360 million in 1 day.
So we don't have an exact like-for-like, but it sounds like a couple of those one-day things, if you extrapolate them out over 3 days, probably were bigger than 600.
And then Lord of Pwn says, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, the 2011 one, is the all-time best-selling Call of Duty title at over 30 million units sold as of February 2019.
Right.
So that gives you a thing there. But yeah, really. So taking that context that Daniel's giving us, applying to this, really impressive numbers.
Yeah, I mean, so if you look at that, it's right up there with. I would argue that the franchise is. If you look at those numbers and kind of draw a little, you know, line graph.
Yeah.
It's not waning at all. I mean, it's had a couple of dips.
They've had a couple of missteps like Infinite Warfare.
But when they just do, when they go back to basics, when they do Modern Warfare, it's as popular as it was 10 years ago, which is pretty amazing.
It's insane. And and I think it always goes back to, as well, how the jaded gaming Twitter sphere, whatever you want to call it, where we all exist every day, all the day, where the games we care about are the games where, like, people will poo-poo for no reason, right? Oh, another Call of Duty. That just does not matter to the general public. So many more millions of people play video games than people who listen to this show or go to IGN.
Yeah,
that
it's up there with Madden and I don't know what else you would put in that category, but like it's one of the only truly
Assassin's Creed,
Halo.
Yeah,
I would put up there as well. Yeah. It's one of the only AAA franchises that appeals to the hardcore gamer, but is also truly mainstream. Like everyone plays those games.
Yeah. Right now, heads up, Capitalist Pig says. Read the Joker top ranking.
Maleficent.
Mistress of Evil is currently the number one movie in America. So
okay.
There you go. But Nanobiologist says
until cats.
As of today, Joker has the highest global to date sales. Yeah. Wait till Kitty gets them claws out. Now, Gary, you're excited to play Call of Duty, as obviously $600 million worth of people are as well, but. I have some interesting news for you as our number two story. There's a Call of Duty controversy that I'd heard about but not read into, but I'm going to let James Batchelor tell you about it from GamesIndustry.biz.
I mean, again, this does feel like every year, right? Okay, Call of Duty's out. Story number one, it sold squillions of copies. Story number two, there's a controversy.
The newest Call of Duty has caused controversy in Russia due to a mission that's being criticized for spreading American propaganda.
In Soviet Russia... controversy causes you.
Yeah, that's right. Yakov Smirnov, he's topical. The mission in question is Modern Warfare's Highway of Death, which sees players taking on a sniper operation overlooking the titular road. The game claims...
Oh, there's a sniper. I fucking love sniper missions.
It earned its name after Russian forces bombed it during an invasion, killing anyone trying to escape the area. Despite this highway being set in the made-up Middle Eastern country of Yurkistan...
Yurkistan?
Who cares? And Activision's insistence, insistence that the story is fictional, critics has observed it bears more than a passing resemblance to the real-world Highway of Death. Officially known as Highway 80, this six-lane passage between Kuwait and Iraq was the setting for the U.S.-led attack during the Persian Gulf War. The coalition attacked retreating forces after a ceasefire, an event later reported as a war crime. Critics and users have accused Activision and Infinity Ward of attempting to rewrite history and describe the game as American propaganda and the demonization of Russia. The user rating on Metacritic has sunk to 3.4 after a wave of zero-point reviews by people with such complaints, including several in Russian. The BBC even reports the game was discussed on Russian state TV. This controversial mission is likely the reason Sony decided not to sell Modern Warfare through the PlayStation Store in Russia. Developer Infinity Ward has gone to great lengths in the months running up to launch to distance the game from real-world events. In an interview in August, campaign gameplay director Jacob Minkoff said, quote,
Are
we telling a story that has anything to do with the specific governments or of any countries that we're portraying? No. He later reiterated that Modern Warfare does not comment on the exact administrations and governments and events in our world today, but focuses on thematic things. The backlash occurs almost exactly 10 years after the controversy surrounding Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, which included the notorious No Russian level that depicted and enabled players to participate in a mass shooting at a Russian airport. The mission proved to be so offensive, the game was recalled from shelves in Russia. Gary Witta, what's your take on this pro-American propaganda whitewashing history?
You know, first of all, again, it wouldn't be a Modern Warfare release if there wasn't some kind of controversy. It is almost as though they deliberately, like, they sit around the table in the development group and say, well, what's going to be the controversial element this year? We better make sure there is one. Like, it's part and I see Kevin's nodding. Didn't they actually do that?
I mean, yeah, why wouldn't they?
Right? Yeah, it's like, what can we do to make sure it's controversial?
Yeah, they're going
to
get good numbers.
It's a staple element of Call of Duty.
Being in the news is always a good, like, you know.
Yeah.
For, like, these kind of things, I think, like, oh, I don't know if that hurts them, but, like, that spreads their name around for sure, right?
I guess my other point is, are we really going to sit here and let Russia complain to us about inaccurate depictions of news and historical events?
Mm.
Are we as they flood the whole fucking planet deliberately with disinformation and fake news? Yeah. Do they also really get to be snowflakes about this? I don't think so.
Yeah, you're not gonna have it.
I'm not having it, Greg. Yeah, exactly. I'm throwing it back in their faces.
I understand.
And saying "niet."
that translates to them. They understand what you're saying there.
They would understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, it was interesting to see this. I started seeing some tweets about this yesterday. Not even the fact that Russian people were mad about it. It's just more the fact that, like, this is a weird thing. Like, this is something Americans did.
But it's a different... Okay, so they call it... Is it just because they called it Highway of Death? It's not the same... It's a fictional country,
well, that's
not a real country.
The real world is the Highway of Death. This is... Modern Warfare, you know, okay, you're right. No, the mission is the question is Modern Warfare's Highway of Death. No, they call it the exact same thing.
Right. But it's not, then they're not saying this, it's not a game set during the Gulf War in Kuwait. It's not like they're taking that historical event and rewriting that piece of history.
Sure,
it's,
they're just it blaming
sounds like
the Russians.
It sounds like a long stretch of road along which there is some death. But like, what, how is that? How does that get you from this fictional occurrence in this fictional country to things that happened in the real world like 20 years ago? I don't understand the connection.
Well, they're using the exact same name in the exact same circumstances.
The Highway
but
of Death sounds pretty fucking generic to me. Like, if you said to me, Gary, quickly, we've got all this death happening along this highway in this level. We need a title now. I don't fucking know. Highway of Death?
Okay,
like,
that's not how it happened.
Brilliant,
Gary.
Clearly
the same
thing, Gary.
That's why we
pay you the big bucks.
It's clearly the same thing. Just, okay, we're going to swap it out. We want to be the good guys in this scenario.
Gary, it's definitely the same thing.
Is it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So are you okay?
They
all right. Well, I need
critics
to,
have observed it bears more than a passing resemblance to the real world Highway of Death.
Okay, all right.
Okay,
but that's what Modern Warfare often does, right?
And the pulls Jack, from the headlines,
the Jack Ryan show on TV. They all do this. They go rip from the headlines, but then they kind of reskin it so it's not the exact thing.
Yeah,
but it's like you go, oh, that's it's kind of like that thing.
Yeah.
This doesn't bother me.
Yeah. I mean, with all due respect, I mean, really, like, guess what? War's horrible, and I obviously have never been in a war, obviously, but because I look like this. But, like, I don't care. Like, whatever. It's a fictional story they're telling. It's a weird pull to, like, take something that's actually called the Highway of Death that we were the bad guys in and put it in there and make us not the bad guys, but
I'm gonna play it. And I'll come back to you with a, because I don't have an informed take yet. I just think it's a bit rich coming from Russia complaining
that's
about
the other thing. Yeah, of course. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. I want your report, all right?
I mean, I know how pro-Russia everyone is these days, right? As Americans, we're all supposed to be Russia is great, but...
The administration says that, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's right. The president says that Russia is brilliant. We're all supposed to love Russia. So I'm sorry if I'm going against the patriotic grain there.
How many days removed are we from Trump tweeting about this?
Ooh, that's a good point.
Somebody getting in his ear about it and being like, I got it. He's tweeting about fucking Kanye albums. He can tweet about this.
Yeah. Yeah, someone gets on the... You better, now, Comrade Donald, you better complain about this on the Twitter or we'll release the pictures. Because you know they've got fucking pictures on
it. Oh, I know they do.
Nothing else makes sense.
Number three on the Roper Report, the PlayStation 4 is now the second best-selling console of all time.
What?
This is from
behind the PlayStation 2, no doubt.
Correct, don't spoil it. This is from the Q2 results. There's a bunch of stuff that's about to drop for you guys, all from Q2 results. So just that's what's happening. Financials are happening.
Everyone's
calls
doing
are
their
happening.
Q2 earnings.
So over on Twitter, Nibel, of course, another analyst, had this to say. Sony reports that PlayStation 4 has sold 102.8 million units as of September 30th, which makes it the second best-selling home console of all time. The numbers look like this. Number one is the PS2 with 155 million. Number two, PlayStation 4, 102.8 million. Number three, PlayStation 1, 102.49 million. Number four, the Wii, 101.63 million. And number five, the PS3 with 87.4 million.
So Sony has the top three spots and four of the top five.
Yeah.
That's dominance.
Yeah, it's that thing a lot of people, I think it was Lucy O'Brien comment on this on Twitter the other day of like today I learned kind of thing of like the, you know, 360 dominated that generation, but by the end PlayStation 3 was able to come out and sell more units. I remember on Beyond talking about it and watching The Chase.
I wonder how far you have to get on that list before an Xbox shows up.
I think number five, six.
You think?
Yeah, kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, right? 360 was right there because it was neck and neck with PS3.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
else slid in there.
Yeah.
This is an interesting thing Nibel calls out. During the earnings call, Sony mentioned that after the Insomniac acquisition, they are going to, quote, continue to pursue growth investment opportunities to enhance content IP, implying possible future studio acquisitions. Mr. Witta, the question I have for you.
Like, let me just tell you, Greg, as a gamer, hearing that kind of sexy gamer talk, continue to pursue growth investment opportunities to enhance content IP. Like, that just gets me wet as a gamer.
Oh,
geek.
My God.
As a nerd, I'm like, talk
rock
dirty
hard
to me.
Over here.
Enhance that content IP, you dirty bitch. I'm going to need a fucking safe word. This is so hot.
Yeah, I know, right? Oh, my God. New content. I can't see. Who are they going to acquire next?
Oh, what content IP are they going to enhance? What vertical integration opportunities will they maximize next?
I can't wait for it. Oh. I like expanded universes. I want them to turn all my IP into properties
all over, Kevin.
And stuff.
Might need some of those MeUndies. I might have jizzed in my MeUndies with all this gamer talk.
Well, you can get, they're comfortable. They have micromodal fabric. You know what I mean? do you think PlayStation 4 is going to catch PS2?
Well, it's got a long way to go, hasn't it? And it's at the end of its generation. It's got a year to go.
Yeah.
The question is...
The only thing would happen is like if they put out another $100 PS4 when PS5 hits and then...
I mean, I would need to see actually where they were at, a kind of like for like where they were in the life cycle.
Yeah. You've
got to remember, PS2 continued to be a very popular machine and continued to sell long after the PS3 came out. The question is... what kind of life will... I mean, PS4 has got a bigger... the other interesting factor is it surpassed, just barely, but surpassed the PlayStation 1.
Mm-hmm.
Over its lifetime. And, the PlayStation 4 will continue to be supported and we'll probably see like a $199 version. So, they'll shrink it down.
Oh, yeah, they'll get it in.
They'll continue. It'll become like the budget option for a while. And again, there's such an installed base that the big boys will continue to support it for a few more years. Will it ultimately beat PlayStation 2? My guess is no. It would have a long way to go. The PlayStation 2, it was phenomenal.
Untouchable. Real quick, too, from Wikipedia, who submitted this to? Nanobiologist tossing the Wikipedia list. Xbox 360 right behind PS3 with about 84 million.
Okay, okay.
Worth pointing out, too, because this is including handhelds. That if we brought handhelds into the conversation, because again, this is home consoles, it would go PS2, Nintendo DS, Game Boy/Game Boy Color, PS4.
Man, again, if you look at the history of it, though, I know it's obviously been covered historically, ad infinitum, but we do love history here on Kind of Funny Games Daily. And to go from 155 million PlayStation 2 to just a little bit over half that on the next generation, that was a real, historically, that was a big.
Well, remember, I mean, when we were in the PS3. 360 era, it was the idea that, okay, cool, next generation is going to be the end of it. We'll have one more console generation, and then we'll start to move into a unified platform or whatever the fuck's going to happen.
What year did the PS3 come out at?
PS3?
Yeah.
Don't you're wrong it, because I can get it. I can go back through my timeline. 2006.
That was going to be my guess, yeah, 2006.
Because I think that,
Yes, because it was I graduated college and started at the Tribune in 2005. And that's when the Xbox 360 came out, and they had a year lead on PS3, so it's 2006. And then I got hired in 2007.
Do you guys think that the recession plays a part into this?
In what?
In that, would the numbers have been more solid if we didn't have, 6 years?
Oh, because, 2008?
Yeah.
I mean, but I also think that Sony... made a lot of major mistakes with that, in the same way that Microsoft made a lot of major mistakes this generation with the Xbox One. The $600 price point, recession
US
or
dollars.
Not, that's too much money.
Yeah,
I feel like we're in a different place with tech too, if that makes sense. Like, I think we you think back to where we are, in that PS3 360 generation, right? When I came to IGN and Craig Harris got the first iPhone I'd ever seen with my own I remember I didn't when three. My life is video games. I knew from the fourth grade I wanted to write about video games, talk about video games. When I'm graduating college, I'm not motivated to buy a 360 in any stretch of the imagination because I didn't have internet in my apartment and I didn't have an HDTV. When PS3 dropped, it was the same thing. It's $590 US, and I don't have an HDTV, and why would I play that? I had the Wii, dirt cheap off of it comparatively, and was playing games on my giant tube TV that way. I feel like it's night and
so
day.
So even you, ultimate PlayStation stan Greg Miller, passed on the PlayStation 3.
Dude, that's the thing people always want to fucking shit on me about, all right? Oh, you're a Sony pony. Go back and listen to the first 2 years of Beyond when I was like, Jeremy Dunham was like, and what, are you playing PS3 at home? I'm like, no, I want to buy that thing. That thing's way too expensive. Are you kidding me? No, I would never do that. I would never get out there and do that kind of thing. And that was the thing. They had no games. They had all these different things. There was a million reasons it didn't work. Now we're in a much different place.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they arguably squandered a lot of the goodwill that they had from coming out of the PlayStation 2, arguably some arrogance. But they bounced right back. The PlayStation 4 is terrific. They got it right this time.
Do you think it's going to happen again with PlayStation 5 and Scarlet? You think of the title turn? Xbox runs away with next generation? Or gets first in next generation?
No, I mean, the narratives aren't as simple as that, are they? Oh, well, you know, it was Sony's turn this time, Hubris. So it was Microsoft's turns next time. I think, you know, we know almost nothing about... We know a bit about PlayStation. It's going to be the same. I said this before. It's going to be the same all over again. PlayStation 5 is going to be a more powerful PlayStation 4.
Sure.
Scarlet's going to be a more powerful Xbox One. I don't think either of these consoles have like any great like jaw dropping surprises, like game changers. You know, it's going to be the same shit.
Well, yeah, that's where we're at, right? Is like it's all incremental. You're going to see the continued advancement of graphics, how many characters can be on screen, and how many things can...
It's going to come down to, in the same way it does with the big streaming wars that we're all about to get into.
Streaming wars.
Begun, these streaming wars have. Is the services. And I got to say, I tweeted about this a couple of times last week. I don't know what it is, I finally started like really delving into it. Maybe it's because a couple of really good games are coming on it lately. And people have been caring, like comparing like what the good values in gaming are.
Sure.
Game Pass is terrific.
Yeah.
Does Sony have anything as good as that?
They have PlayStation Now.
Is that as good as Game Pass?
No, I don't think so. It's more successful, but they're just starting to put like, you know, more modern stuff on there, right? There was a big deal the other day when we were talking about God of War getting added to it,
right?
A litany of other games,
right?
I think they're, you know, prepping for that war. I think you're right that it is services that'll, I think, win.
Who has
next
the best games and who has the best deals on those games?
Yeah,
in terms of the you know, whether it be xCloud or whatever Sony's version of that is going to be, you know, the box, the hardware, and again, and don't forget you're going to have Stadia is arguably a platform in this next generation that's coming along.
Yeah, we'll see.
You know, and Stadia's whole thing is the box doesn't matter, you don't even need a box.
Yeah,
so it's less about what's the box and more about what are we going to be doing with it. It's, you know, with these massive content wars that are going on right now with Apple and Disney and HBO and Netflix and Amazon, it's gonna be the same thing again. When you watch TV at home, when you watch Netflix, you know, it's nice to have a 4K TV, but you're not really thinking about the hardware that you're watching it on. You know, the same services are on every box, and it's gonna be the same here. It's gonna come down to what games do you want to play, that and how much do you want to pay for those games. It's not gonna be about, well, I think the argument about we've got the better hardware is going to go away, because I don't think it's that compelling. Xbox has got the better hardware this year, but it's not helping them.
I don't necessarily think that's true. I think that like there are certain people who definitely care about where they're watching what content, where it's like, I know when it comes to me, like if I'm watching something and I really care like for it to look good, I have to make sure that like I do it through the TV's Netflix app.
Yeah, the native app on the TV.
The native app, because that one's the one that like ingests the best. But if I don't care and like I want my Hue lights to be synced with it, I do it through the Chromecast Ultra, because like there is a dip in quality that is noticeable, but like I get to enjoy these light show. You know?
I never thought at all about any of that stuff until that final season of Game of Thrones, when we were watching on PlayStation 4. And me, Lucy, and Jen were watching, and it's just like, why is it? It's all artifact and garbage. Man, this sucks. Ha, ha, ha. And then, like, you looked at Twitter, and it was all the PlayStation 4 people being like, what the fuck? And everybody else being like, look fine for us. And I was like, oh no.
I mean, like, I had a lot of the artifacting on HBO Now.
Yeah. I used HBO Go.
And I was watching that on the Apple TV box, I think.
Worth pointing out, I got an email that pertains to this very conversation, kind of, in the future and where we're at, and me saying I'm always, oh, Mr. Digital, I'm happy for the digital revolution. Got this email from Xfinity last night. You used 100% of your data plan this month.
That's why I kicked Comcast to the curb a long time ago.
Check out Sonic,
I know, but Sonic doesn't have the crazy good stuff in my hood.
That's
a
shame.
But if you don't have do you have the crazy good stuff?
I forget
right
what
now?
I have over there. But I think it's something weird, like they couldn't. It just wasn't good.
I'm just saying, if I understand what you're saying, but I'm saying if you can get a cheaper version of what you have now, and not necessarily the fiber, like without limits, isn't that better?
You poor Comcast bastards. You're all down there underneath, you're all down there below, and they're like begging for data, and there's Immortan Joe. Immortan Comcast, do not beg, do not become dependent, do not become addicted to data. You will crave it. What?
What do you have?
What do I have? Sonic, unlimited gig internet, no data caps, nothing.
That's what we're talking about, though.
That's what we want.
Like, I'm telling him to go that route.
You have it too now, or no?
Yeah, but
no,
until it becomes available in his zip code, what can he can't do anything.
But what I'm saying,
Comcast has got him over a barrel. That's why they're able to treat him like shit, because he's got nowhere to go.
If he has 250 down and 30 up, probably. I assume that's what.
No, something like that. Yeah, it's whatever we used to have for kind of funny. I never changed
that
for
the speed. The point is that he gets capped. They capped him. They said he's used all his data.
I'm on your side, Gary. I'm telling him to switch over.
But he can't because he's not in his zip code yet.
No, so they're in my zip code. They just don't have the crazy good stuff. They got this. They were like, we don't have the
But I think it's probably still better than Comcast. Any opportunity to tell Comcast to fuck off, you should take it.
All right, cool. Let me just say to you, by the way, I'm really enjoying the show, guys. I'm enjoying us just having a couple.
Who needs big news?
We're like just three old men.
Let's check. Let's see what Greg's got available.
No, already did this when we said we could get it for the studio. I did this exact same thing, and it said no. But then I talked to the guy, and the guy's like, it doesn't have the crazy good stuff, but it's got the other stuff. You need to call. And that's when I was like, oh, man,
but get the good
time.
Stuff. Get
I
on the Sonic time. Bandwagon, and then when the crazy stuff rolls around, you'll get it.
All right. Well, you know what, Gary? We don't have all the free time in the world like you to go eat fluffy pancakes, all right? Some of us have to keep doing shows. Next, it's not all great news for PlayStation 4, though. This is still just bullet point on 3, by the way. James Batchelor, Games Industry Biz, reports sales for the game and network services division were down by $878.5 million, or 17% year-on-year for the first 3 months ended September 30th, 2019. Operating income was down $235 million, or 28%. This decline was attributed to a decrease in both software and hardware sales, although Sony notes an increase in sales for PlayStation Plus subscribers. The service had 36.9 million subscribers at the end of Q2, up from 34.3 million for the same period last year, and the 36.2 million from the previous quarter.
So games and services is down. Would you attribute that just to this being the end
of the
generation?
Well, games and network services, yeah, 100%.
People aren't buying games because they're waiting?
I think we were just talking about this before. It's a weird year. What's game of the year? I don't know. There's a bunch of great games. Is there one amazing standout game? Everybody's shouting out a different game right now at their car.
Yeah, it's interesting because we were talking about before the show. You said like I said to you like, what do you think is going to be game of the year? Because we're at that point in the year now where like all the candidates are basically.
It seems
there.
Like the only one we can all agree on is Resident Evil 2. It seems like that's the one everybody's like, that was really good.
But
that
like,
was really good.
I know, but like, does how much does the fact that it is a remake count against it?
I don't know.
Like we talked about Link's Awakening as well, another remake.
Yeah. Then it's what? Outer Worlds, Outer Wilds.
Outer Worlds, Sekiro. Jedi. I mean, so Jedi Fallen Order we'll see.
I hope so. Man.
Death Stranding we'll know on Friday.
Yeah, we'll know.
Right?
Yeah.
But you're right. It's the game of the year picture. I mean, I think Goose Game's in the conversation. But it's going to be, I think this year, I think you're going to see most people last year went God of War.
Yeah.
Usually there's like a consensus winner.
Yeah.
I think you may not see that this year. I think you may see because there's fucking 500 different Game of the Year awards out there.
Sure.
Maybe 10 or 12 that actually mean anything. I think, what's that?
No, of course not. Are we one of those?
You're not even in the 500.
Yeah. No. Okay. But I host the Dice and we vote on the Game Awards, so we're kind of in two of them. You know what I mean?
Sure.
We're kind of in two
of
them.
Pretty
important.
Makes a lot of sense.
Number 4 on the Roper Report. I got some EA stuff from their Q2 call. It's about Star Wars, it's about Dragon Age, and more. We'll start with Daniel Amad. EA confirms that Star Wars Battlefront 1 and 2 have sold over 33 million copies combined. EA is expecting Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order to ship between 6 and 8 million units before March 31st, 2020, the end of fiscal year 20. Interesting news there for me personally.
Interesting how they combine the Battlefront 1 and 2. Like they don't want you to know how much was each.
No, they're just doing fine. Yeah. Everything's doing fine with the Battlefront. Don't worry about us. But more interesting, Fallen Order. Are you excited for Fallen Order? Are you going to play Fallen Order? I know you don't really like Star Wars. You just took the paycheck. Is it true your first draft called the Death Star the Millennium Falcon? Because I read that on the internet.
So for Fallen Order... I don't know. It's weird. I should be more excited, right? Because I like Star Wars. Maybe I don't know. I might actually be. This is a weird thing for me to say, but I might be experiencing a little bit of Star Wars fatigue right now. There's just so much of it out there. I kind of, you know, it's feast or famine. I almost kind of preferred it when it was famine.
Yeah.
When each piece of Star Wars that came out was like, oh my God, we've waited so long, and it was a big deal.
Sure.
Now there's something new every 5 minutes.
Sure.
And again, I think for a certain kind of Star Wars fan that just wants like. To like it wants that all you can eat buffet.
Yeah,
that's great. I don't know. I'm kind of want to like I kind of want to order more off like the a la carte menu.
I can't fucking wait for Fallen Order. playing but you, that so preview.
You, I mean, I trust you because you played a bunch.
Like 2 hours, 2-3 hours of it. Yeah,
I have no doubt that I'll definitely get it. I'll get it on. I'll get the PC version because I want to play the best version you know available. I want the highest frame rates. I want trilinear bit blopping.
You
want
to see Cal's hair blow.
Yeah, I want ray tracing. I want 120 frames a second. Mm-hmm. I want 4K. I want all those things. All of those things that you'll get probably around the PlayStation 7 or 8. I want it now. And I can have it now. Because I've made those choices.
Fallen Order is going to be great, I hope.
I'm sure it is. I look forward to hitting things with a lightsaber in 4K.
Rebecca Valentine over at GamesIndustry.biz pulled this for her roundup of the Q2 stuff. She was talking about how total net revenue of $1.35 billion is up 4.7% year over year. To that, there was a whole bunch of different conversations, including this one from Blake Jorgensen, COO and CFO. The strong results this quarter illustrate the power of our live services and our core franchises. Strength in Ultimate Team of The Sims 4 and FIFA Online drove live services performance above our expectations. Looking ahead, we are doubling down on live services combined with our core franchises. We're investing in games that people play for longer and engage with more deeply. This focus will continue to drive growth and profitability for the company through the remainder of this year and beyond. Interesting. EA, of course, hated. Just everybody hates EA, as you know, Gary. Interesting as they look to the future and they try to see the success of how can we take more of the Ultimate Team stuff for Madden and FIFA? How can we take those online services and put them into the core franchises and bring that in? What does that define to them? Obviously, I think one of the big things people are excited for Jedi Fallen Order is, hey, it's a single-player Star Wars game with no microtransactions, no BS from what they've said. We'll see if that hangs true. Going forward, it'll be interesting to see what that means for a Battlefront, for a thing. How are they going to continue to double down on what they have and still do this and not be even more hated? I don't have the answers.
I mean, they're making the money. What do they care?
Exactly. You know what I mean? That's what you always talk about. However, this is it. Daniel, again, back on his Twitter, said this. EA says that new Dragon Age from BioWare is in development, but likely won't be until after fiscal year 2022. So after April 2022. A new Star Wars title in development that should drop prior to the end of fiscal year 2022.
I think I might know what that is.
Tell us right now. How did you find out? Did you write on it? Did you help? Did you just see somebody? This is, you can't do that. You can't say you think you know what the game is.
I can. I just did it.
Han Solo.
I think I know what it is.
Jedi,
but I'm not,
Han Solo.
I'm not going to tell you anything.
Boo.
Is it boo? I know, right? Boo.
Is it? Here's what I want. Is it like Overcooked, but it's Maz Kanata? That's what I want.
Oh, I would play that.
Yeah, right. You're a piece of garbo. Anyways, back to Daniel's thing about this new Star Wars title and plus the Dragon Age thing. I should note that the above was given somewhat offhand, so I wouldn't put too much stock in the specificity of them. But that seems to be the years being guided towards. So there you go. Interesting. Frank Furter writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, good morning, Tim and Gary. I was originally going to have Tim host with you, but I was like, you know what? I got to see Gary. EA subtly dropped the news that we are a minimum two and a half years away from the next Dragon Age game. With the original Dragon Age 4 scrapped to focus on Anthem and BioWare losing a key producer in September, can we hit the panic button? If this is going to be a game that needs to live up to the brand name Dragon Age, is another 2 years enough time to finish it? Or do we have faith that BioWare has this under control and will be able to produce a great game in a beloved franchise? Also, food for thought, another Star Wars game is in the works and is going to be released by March 2022, which gives me pause that they are going to be rushing out a game instead of giving it the polish they probably will need.
Well, first of all, on the Star Wars thing, there's no way to know if the date means it's being rushed because you have no idea how long it's been in development for.
Right, we don't know who's working on it either. Yeah,
it could have been in development for 5 years and we're just talking about it now. So not enough information there.
Gary says Niet again.
Niet, comrade. On Dragon Age 4, feels like a lot rests on that for BioWare. Because BioWare's name,
100%.
Much like Bethesda's right now, is just in the trash.
Sure.
And
oh, you didn't sign up to be a Fallout First member? I really, really appreciated your tweet the other day.
It's funny.
I've never
fucking
played this game, but it's I can't stop watching.
I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. Like, I've never. I'm not really a Fallout guy. Yeah. I never played Fallout 4. I don't think I even played Fallout. I think Fallout 2 was the last one I ever played.
Oh my god! Okay.
I just never played those games. I know that they're very well liked, and I know that Bethesda is a company that has always had like a blue chip, top shelf reputation. But Fallout, ever since Fallout 76 first came out, I've just been fascinated with like how a company can do get it all wrong to that extent. Like it's one of those car crash things that you can't look away from.
You can't look away from
you. And the Fallout first thing is just like, I don't, like I said, I usually stay away from like snark and negative commentary, but I've been watching all of the Angry Joe, Yong Yi video with people, they're just going on about it every day. I don't know what it is. I can't get enough of it.
Well, it's just a gawker delay. You're looking at your window. That's what
it is.
It's like,
I'm rubbernecking.
How many rakes can be in Bethesda's front lawn?
I know, right?
He's stepping on them all. And building the rakes and then stepping.
I know they're literally. I mean, they're literally. They're deliberately walking into these rakes.
BioWare, though.
So who knows what's next for Bethesda's in deep trouble. I don't know what they're going to do to get out of that hole. But BioWare, at least, and obviously with Anthem, they have a similar fuck up, and there's still a lot of ill will about them disgracing the Mass Effect franchise as they did.
Yeah, Andromeda.
But going back to Dragon Age, which is one of their two core, like you know, this is what we're known for. Yeah. A retrenchment, if you will. What?
A retrenchment.
A retrenchment.
You're doing this so to go back
to go backwards. Okay. Yes.
He's so smart. Look at him.
I have a thesaurus because I need to talk about fucking Death Stars, lightsabers.
Go backwards, you know. Step back.
Going backwards, if you will, Craig. They've gone backwards.
Yeah.
And they've retreated to a safe haven of a beloved franchise, but that in its way carries its own risk because that they cannot fuck up. They fucked up their one of their two main franchises. They fucked up their big attempts to move forward with something new.
Yeah.
This is all they've got left. They cannot fuck this up.
And I feel like they know that, and I feel like EA knows that.
Right.
I feel like they looked at Andromeda and they're like, man, we made you rush that out, huh? We fucked up there. Okay. And then they look at Anthem and are like, oh my God.
You
have to, if you want BioWare to still be a name that matters, they have to fucking crush Dragon Age.
Do you think that they're likely to play it safe because they just don't want to fuck it up?
What do you mean by play it safe? I think you're not
trying to do anything too new or innovative or like a new direction for the franchise, but like just give people spaghetti and meatballs. Like just you like Dragon Age, here's some more fucking Dragon
Age. Yeah, here it is with all the voxels, you know what I mean? Yeah, you're probably right. I think there'll be new systems in it and stuff, but
right.
Dragon Age, I mean, it does switch up a lot in a lot of ways. Uh-huh. It's a great RPG every time with great stories and great, you know, personal relationships, but mechanic-wise, from Dragon Age to Dragon Age 2 to Dragon Age Inquisition, those were all different feeling.
I just wish it had been done the other. I wish they'd have fucked up Dragon Age, which I don't care about, and now we're putting all their chips in on Mass Effect because I'm a Mass Effect guy.
Yeah, Mass Effect was fun.
Mass Effect 2 was my favorite game, probably tied with Red Dead, was my favorite game of that generation.
Hell yeah!
And I desperately, desperately want a new Mass Effect. I don't want Andromeda. No, but I was so excited about it. If you'd have said to me like around the time of Mass Effect 3, when I was like fighting the Reapers, and I actually liked Mass Effect 3 a lot. I know it got some shit, but I really liked it. If you'd have said to me, if you'd come to me from the future, and say, I mean, you know, looking much, this is what kind of future Greg would look like to me, stepping out of the time portal and saying, guess what, Gary? I'm from 5 years in the future. The new Mass Effect game is out, and you don't give a shit about it. I'm like, how could that be possible?
Yeah.
Well, EA showed us the way.
Yeah, I hear. Outside of the problems, I had liked the little bits of Andromeda that I played, but it was that it had so many fucking problems. I heard once they got past, the game was pretty okay.
I think if they'd have continued to support it and make it better, I'd be like, what does it look like now? But I think they just did the initial patches just to fix it and then just walked away from it.
It doesn't need anything else, right? You were never going to play the multiplayer.
Is it worth me picking up
Andy
Mass Effect Andromeda?
You liked Mass Effect Andromeda. Thoughts on that?
I only put like 5 hours in.
Did you ever want to go back to it, though?
Yes, especially with that big HD remaster.
Okay.
Or they put it on 4K on 1X.
You ever
did? I've got the PlayStation version. Fuck.
I'm thinking of going back to do, like, just because I think it's one of my favorite franchises ever, and I just don't know.
I'm probably get it for, like, $5.
Yeah.
My wife, Leah just picked up The Witcher 3 for $12 on a Halloween sale.
She got it on Switch, huh?
She got it on Xbox One X.
Huh?
I was put down by all the hate.
Yeah.
Me too.
It had a lot of problems.
Me too. All the negativity put me off.
Yeah.
And he's fucking looking like Tony Stark over there. Is that a deliberate thing? Is that what you're going for?
No, he just got new glasses.
You look like Tony Stark.
I love that.
Number 5 on the Roper Report. Oh, this is a fun one. This is an easy one.
Go on.
Ninja Theory's Inside Project. This happened yesterday, but I didn't have time to fit it in. However, I'm reading from the Xbox Wire where Dom Matthews, director at Ninja Theory, had this to say. Today, we are proud to announce the Inside Project, an innovative R&D project at Ninja Theory that we have grand ambitions for. In 2017, Ninja Theory released Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice on PlayStation and PC platforms, and later on Xbox One, Nintendo Switch, and VR. The game received universal acclaim for its depiction of a warrior with severe mental health issues and was described by Welcome as the best representation of psychosis in any media. It went on to win widespread acclaim, including 5 BAFTAs, 3 Game Awards, and a Royal College of Psychiatrists Award.
Oh, wow.
Subsequent to its release, the creators of it have continued discussions on how games can go beyond representing mental illness and distress, and how they play a role in promoting mental health or mental well-being. These discussions have resulted in the Insight Project, an ambitious combination of technology, game design, and clinical neuroscience brought together with the aim of generating strategies to alleviate mental distress. The Insight Project will take shape over several years, but is being announced early to encourage an open and transparent approach to its development. It is an exploratory and experimentally guided project that aims to deliver a mainstream solution to help treat mental suffering and encourage mental well-being. I thought that was cool. I like that they found such acclaim with that, and they got so much press for it and coverage for it that they're like, "We're going to double down on this and try to."
I applaud that. That sounds great. We need more of that.
100%. Gary, I can't wait to see what the Insight Project finds. But their findings are still so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grab shop. Where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah.
Before I get see to the one list. Title on here that interests
well,
me.
Well, you can keep looking. Before I get to the list, I'm going to give you the sponsors for today's episode. We're going to start with Escape the Invasion. Ever wonder what you'd do if you found yourself in the middle of a post-apocalyptic world that's been ravaged by a deadly virus inflicted by aliens? Looking for a unique date or game night that gets you off your devices and truly interacting with others? You've got to check out this game called Escape the Invasion. It's all about immersive experiences, and they just announced the launch of their new post-apocalyptic themed subscription box. From the makers of Hunt a Killer, a game that Jen and I play, the popular true crime mystery subscription game, comes Escape the Invasion, the sci-fi game where you are a survivor on a rapidly dying Earth after an alien invasion. You find refuge in a government bunker, but is it safer than the outside world? Can you trust your fellow survivors? You think you're safe now that you've found refuge, but there's a council that creates and controls every aspect of life in the bunker. What will you choose, freedom or safety? With Escape the Invasion, you will receive a box of clues, physical items, and evidence each month. It's up to you to piece it all together, solve the mystery, and save humanity. Not everything is as it seems in this challenging game, where you must decide who to trust. Your decision will determine the fate of the story, the bunker, and maybe even humanity itself. It's been called an escape room delivered to your front door, where Fallout meets Alien. Escape the Invasion is a great way to get out there and hang out with people, but if you want a solo adventure, you can interact with our online community to swap theories and help others out. You get high-quality, handcrafted clues that get you lost in this post-apocalyptic world and make you feel like humanity truly is in your hands. Right now, just for our listeners, you can go to escapetheinvasion.com/KFGames, get 20% off your first box. That's escapetheinvasion.com/KFGames for 20% off your first box. Escapetheinvasion.com/KFGames. Can you survive the alien apocalypse? I cannot. Up next is Quip. We're all using Quip here, but why? Why? It's the best toothbrush out there. But what makes a better toothbrush? Industrial strength power, claims of miraculous trendy ingredients, multiple modes. If you ask a dentist, they'll tell you it's less about the brush and more about how you use it. That's why Quip was created by dentists and product designers to focus on what actually matters for your oral health, healthier habits. Quip's sensitive vibrations with a built-in 2-minute timer guide gentle brushing for the dentist recommended 2 minutes and 30 with 30-second pulses, ensuring an even clean. Quip automatically delivers brush heads to you every 3 months for clean new bristles right on schedule. Mine are on the way right now. I got that email alongside the one that my internet's out. The sleek, intuitive design is simple to use and comes with a travel cap that doubles as a mirror mount. These thoughtful features make brushing something you actually want to do twice a day. Good habits matter to live a healthier life, so help form fresh oral health habits with Quip. Quip starts at just $25, and you'll get your first refill free at getquip.com/KF. This is a simple way to support the show and start brushing better, but you have to go to getquip.com/KF to get your first refill free. Right now, getquip.com/KF. Gary, out today, Xenocrisis, Xbox One. Inferno 2 Plus, Xbox One. Spaceland on Switch. Air on PC. I Will Eat You, on PC. Incredible Dracula, The Ice Kingdom on PC. And Pixamal Zoo on PC. Which one interests you?
Say what you like about PC games. Uh-huh. We do have the best titles.
No, you don't. This is just
Incredible Dracula?
Random name generator. The Ice Kingdom.
I Will Eat You?
I Will Eat You is
Let's check out I Will Eat You. Can you pull that one, Kevin?
Yep. Give me a second.
No what problem. Do you think that is?
I think it's going to be I'm a monster.
Monster and
side
I'm eating.
Scroller,
like
monster.
I'm a kaiju monster and
yeah,
I'm eating
exactly.
people.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Like
exactly.
Rampage kind of thing?
Yeah, I kind of envision like the original Drinkbox Blob game. Tales from Space, Battle Blob, right? Yeah.
I feel like it could be a cooking game.
Sure. I think it could be food getting revenge. We're a sandwich, and we're going to eat people. I think we are the things that are eat. We are the ones that are eating.
I want to know, Kevin, what's going on?
He's working on it.
I'm working on it, sorry.
He's okay. Got 15 other tabs. KFAF.
That's a lot of tabs.
At KFAF, you know how they do it. They have a bunch of different
Oh, those
things.
Are all their tabs that are all
yeah, you know how they
set
got
up for later?
They,
okay.
To KFAF, they rely on magic tricks out here to entertain people. You and me, we come it's out, just, we just make oh,
okay,
it happen.
Okay, here we go. Wait.
I mean, I'm having trouble finding it.
No, that's 4 years
you.
Old.
Doom.exe. I Will Eat You Cookie.
Oh, you see, this
is
what
the problem with their name.
They do not have good SEO.
No.
They have very poor SEO.
Very poor.
Yeah, just try that. I Will Eat You PC. Yeah. I eating my computer screen. Maybe we should just watch that.
Oh, man. Here, I'm sending it to you, Kev. We were all wrong, Gary.
What?
It's not what we thought it was. I'm sending it to Control, Kevin.
What did you Google to find it?
I Googled I Will Eat You video game.
Okay. Huh. Your Google foo is strong.
And then, of course, that brought me to the one and only Steam.
Okay. Let's
I
check
will
it
eat
out.
You. Run, hide, shout, and try to survive in the game. Full of fun and funny moments. Play with random players or with friends. But whatever you do, do not enter the den of the beast.
What is going on? I mean, the game looks pretty. Okay, here goes
See,
this
we're
guy.
Running,
He's running.
This is fucking selling me on I Will Eat You Guys.
What is going on here? Oh, is it getting chased by a fucking bear? Look at this
Look
guy.
At You know, fucking release that console, you cowards!
What is going on? Is it like an asymmetric
it's
thing?
It's a multiplayer thing where we're all running from the bear and trying
it's,
not
so
to get
it's, So it's like Friday the 13th or Predator or whatever.
Well, I don't know if anybody's playing
can
as
you
the
play
bear.
As the bear?
I don't know.
So it sounds like it's like hide and seek. And like once you get caught, you're out, you know?
Keep going.
Yeah, I'm enjoying this trailer.
I want to know, more.
I mean, I don't feel like the trailer's telling us anything.
But what a jam. I
like
love this song
I like the
as a
soundtrack.
Kid.
I'm really worried it's going to cause.
I Will Eat You. Have fun with friends.
Have
only
fun
on
with
Steam.
Friends only on Steam.
Music by Ross.
Ross Bagdasarian.
Ross, don't
Look
claim
this guy.
Video. Walla walla bing bang. Ooh ee. Ooh ah ah.
So the trailer didn't explain to me fully what it is, but it's done what any trailer needs to do.
You're
it's,
excited?
It's
you
want to
know more.
I'm
here
know
trying
more.
To find it. Game Space
I'm excited
energy.
And I want to know more.
Man, not only is their name
Hold on. I
bad
run,
for the
hide,
game.
And shout. And try to survive in the game, full of fun and funny moments. Play with random players or with friends. But whatever you do, do not enter the den of the beast. Okay. There's another trailer.
Gary, you love PC games. You need to buy this and play it for us. All right?
I'm going
to
get it.
Saying.
I'm going
to
get it.
New dates
it's
for you.
It's an early access. All
Remnant
right.
from the Ashes has sold more than 1 million units to celebrate on Thursday, October 31st. The game will release new in-game content and rewards that will enhance players' experience, including one of the most requested asks by fans, Hardcore Mode. This new mode will challenge players to complete the game with only one life. In addition, the Remnant from the Ashes team teased that they're excited. More DLC is coming throughout 2020. Did you ever play that?
No, what is it?
Remnant from the Ashes?
No, what is it?
It's the you run around I can't. Fran played it. Yeah, it was the weird one where Remnant from the Ashes is an action role-playing game, third-person shooter. It was this weird game that like kind of looked like it was like Monster Hunter and Bloodborne kind of all in this one thing. You're fighting giant shit, running around fighting it and shooting it and whatever.
No, must have passed. That one passed.
It was
me by.
One that was popular. I remember
slept on
like
that one.
And then tonight, you're get a new date for you. Tonight, GT Sport Patch 1.45 adds the Porsche Taycan and Spa Francois. Enjoy all that, you weird car people. Deals of the day for you. Xbox's November games with gold are as follows. Sherlock Holmes, The Devil's Daughter, is going to be available November 1st through the 30th. Then The Final Station will be available November 16th through December 15th. Star Wars Jedi Starfighter is going to be available
See how
November.
All the old Star Wars games are coming back?
Oh, yeah, of course. November 1 like Dark, to
isn't
the 15th.
Isn't it like Jedi Knight is on Switch now, and now all the old prequels?
People love
they need
Star
to,
Wars.
You know what they need to
You're
bring back?
You're the only person who's sick of Star Wars.
You know what they need to bring back?
Is Bounty Hunter.
Pod Racer, motherfucker.
Oh, get out of here.
Pod Racer. We used to have cash money races in PC Gamer. Pod Racer, the Pod Racer game was the best thing that came out of the prequel
that's
era.
True. That's true.
By far.
That was a big game.
It was fantastic.
Like cash in his hand.
We had a big jar of creased up $5 bills that went in there.
$5.
Yeah, because every time.
They were loaded.
It was big money.
They're like, the .com era is never going to kill us.
That's right. That's right. This dream will never end. We're invincible.
Then Joyride Turbo is available November 16th through the 30th, Xbox One and Xbox 360. Starfighter was Xbox One and Xbox 360 as well. The other two were Xbox One.
Were there any other prequel games that came out that were any...
Power Battles.
Jedi Power Battles?
Yeah, I remember that.
No. What was that?
That was...
Rings a bell.
That was the PS1 one, right? There was one on PS1 that I liked a lot. Where you,
Monsters of Terrace Cassie?
It was a pain in the ass. It wasn't it. PlayStation Plus, your November games are Neo and Outlast 2. Oof.
Yeah, slim pickings.
Well, Neo people love.
I know, but it's not a lot.
Outlast
2 like
is an
it,
interesting
nothing
November
else.
Game. You know what I mean? I want to get one question in from Reader Mail. Remember, you can be part of the show, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Now, let's go here. Chad writes in and says, Happy Widow Wednesday, Tim and Gary. Now that EA Access and EA Games have been brought to Steam, do you think Microsoft is eyeing the situation and trying to work out how they can get Game Pass on Steam as well?
Probably not.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
They're just going to stick with their own thing.
Yeah, right. It's successful. Everybody loves them. Everybody's applauding it. You imagine the numbers are really good. I will say this.
It's not... On the PC side, it's not super easy to figure out how to get on Game Pass
really?
Or get access to your games. Yeah, because there's like an Xbox app, but then there's like a store app, and it's all very confusing. Like, I have Game Pass Ultimate, which is good on PC as well.
Yeah.
But in terms of figuring out like how to actually find the games and install them, like it's not as easy as like at some of these other stores.
Yeah, I think the whole Origin thing is because Origin wasn't being used, and EA saw, like we're talking about, like with the soft numbers for Battlefront on Origin, right? They want to make sure they're selling as many units to make themselves look good to Disney.
It's interesting to see at a time that Epic and Activision and Bethesda and Rockstar are all out there making their own stores. EA, it's more of a retrenchment. Back,
I know that word now.
Back, Kevin's fine. Oh no, he's woke up. There you go. Kevin's like, what?
Rising from the dead.
Retrenchment. they've abandoned that. Everyone has their own outlets, but EA, arguably the biggest player in the game.
And think about it this way, too. You saw EA back off and go to Steam now, and you also saw yesterday PlayStation close down PlayStation View.
Right.
Like, it's about, and again, we're talking about these Q2 calls, these earnings calls, right?
Yeah.
It's about, all right, cool, dollars and cents. This isn't part of the core business.
EA has made so many mistakes lately. They cannot afford to make any move that means that people might buy fewer of their games. They have to at least put their shitty games on a service that is in front of as many people as possible.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. But starting with Fallen Order, again, all signs point to that being good. I hope I don't get burned. Jake writes in with the final question of the day. Yo, KFGD crew. Guys, there are too many good games out, and a lot more are coming down the pipe. How do you guys avoid the stress of getting to everything you want to play? At the moment, Call of Duty is taking up much of my time, and I feel bad for not finishing up games I've started. Not a good time to start Final Fantasy VII and V either. Anyway, hope you guys and the best friends have a good Halloween.
I mean, it's a real problem this year every time of year, isn't it? Because everybody wants to release their games for the holiday season. And so once you get into this September, October, November time frame, you know, all the big games come out at once.
Yeah.
And it sucks because, you know, a lot of people can't afford to buy all those games. They've got to make some hard choices.
Yeah.
And even if we can afford to buy all the games, then it becomes I might have more money than the next guy, but I don't have any more time.
Yeah.
I've probably got less time than a lot of people. And so my backlog is piling up. I'm finally going to start Modern Warfare tonight.
Good.
Twitch.tv/GaryWetter. Outer Worlds, I haven't had a chance to play yet. After Party just came out. I installed that yesterday. I mean, it's also on Game Pass. I haven't had a chance to play that.
Death Stranding's right around the corner.
Death Stranding, Jedi Fall, all around. I'm going to want to play all these games. There's only so much time in the day. Like last weekend, I had not yet finished Goose Game. And I sat down last Sunday and said, I'm going to finish this fucking game. Like, one game this year, I'm actually going to play all the way to the end and finish it. And I did. But it almost, as much as I love that game, and it's great, it almost felt more like a chore because it was like, I've got to finish something.
I've got to play something all the way to the end.
But yeah, how do we, you know.
You don't. I feel bad about it all the time. I look at my cross-media bar. I turn on my PlayStation, live area. I turn on PlayStation, look at all stuff. I look at my Switch. Like, Witcher's on there. I'm like, man, I'd love to, but I'm still playing Luigi's Mansion. I'm still playing this. I got to get to
that. Luigi's Mansion. I'm like, it never ends. Yeah. That's coming out tomorrow.
It's heartbreaker.
Who has the time?
Who has the time, Kevin? Nobody. It's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, Steve needs help on his PlayStation 4. His PSN is SteveX418. I have one trophy left to earn. It's Team Sonic Racing, and it involves beating a friend's time trial. If any best friends would like to help me get the platinum trophy, my PSN ID is SteveX418. If you want to help out Steve get that Sonic Racing platinum trophy, hit him up, SteveX418. Gary, we ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight. Nanobiologist says Gary said Yong Ye, but his YouTube is Yong. No, you said Yong Yi.
I said Yong Ye. It's probably his, Yong Ye.
Yong Ye. Yong
Ye. Okay, well,
I met Yong. I met him at the Metal Gear Solid 5 review event. Very nice.
I'm a relatively new follower of Yong Ye's. Yeah. I do enjoy his nightly rants.
Yeah.
he's had a lot to rant about lately.
Greg from Edmonton. This isn't a you're wrong, but it's interesting I hadn't heard about. EA is also probably not keen on keeping BioWare around as our new provincial government in Alberta is canceling the video game development tax credit put in by the previous government to try and diversify our economy. It was a significant credit that helped out developers here. That stinks. A lot of great developers are up in Canada.
There's a big old boom because of that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Kebab says No Man's Sky got a patch today that I missed, 2.15, that adds weekend community challenges. Nanobiologist says I missed a new date. Apex Legends Duo Mode is coming out for a limited time starting on November 5th.
Oh, okay. So you just play with two instead of three players? Is that what Duo Mode is?
That would be my guess.
Makes
sense to me, too. I don't know. And then also Nanobiologist says some Xbox Game Passes are on Steam, like Halo Master Chief Collection. Nanobiologist, you're a piece of garbage. You know exactly what he meant when he said it. Don't try to come in with that kind of garbage, all right? That's me knocking it out. You insulted me today, and you insulted this show, and you insulted your fine lineage as being a You're Wrong contributor. I want you to think about it tonight. Tomorrow, I'm hosting the show.
Halloween.
With Imran on Halloween. Is Imran going to be in a costume? I didn't tell him to, so we'll see. Am I going to be in a costume?
What would be a good costume for Imran? He's little.
Yeah, I'm trying. Yeah, that's something to say, I guess. Yeah. That's how Halloween. You can be whatever you want. You don't have to, like, it's not like a height requirement, like a roller coaster. He goes in the costume shop, and the guy's like, oh, man, I can't tell you that.
Do you know what popped into my head right away?
Is it going to be super insulting?
No.
Okay.
I don't know why it's the first thing that popped into my head, but I think he'd make a really good Pikmin.
Oh, okay.
Just like a little flower around
his head. Yeah.
Why not?
Imran, I know you watch a show usually. If you can come tomorrow and
how
Pikmin
quickly
costume.
Can you put together a Pikmin?
What are you doing for Halloween? What are you dressing up
Mr.
as?
Incredible.
Oh, man. Okay. Is the whole family thing?
No, it's just me. Oh, okay. My daughter is going to be Penny Parker from Into the Spider-Verse.
Ah, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
What's Leah doing?
I think she's got like a sloth costume.
Huh, okay.
Like a big fluffy, big furry onesie kind of thing.
Okay.
And I'm going to be Mr. Incredible.
Nice,
which fits me because, you know, kind of I am like a balding, you know, round, you know, a little bit thick around the middle-aged man. I fit that perfectly.
Crushed it.
And I got a good costume for it at Target.
Okay.
So I'm going to be Mr. Incredible tomorrow. Okay. I'm going to go to my kids' school and they love it when I dress up. Last year my wife and I were Luigi and Mario and the kids loved it.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
All right, cool.
But you're not going to reveal yours until tomorrow.
Well, I'm going to wear it on the show, so I don't want to.
Okay.
Do it.
Yeah.
But tomorrow is in your hands. Friday host is going to be Greg and Tim. Also remember Friday 12:01 a.m. Pacific time. YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames. We're putting up our Death Stranding review. Me, Fran, Imran, Tim will be there as well. I'm sure everybody else who's played will chime in as well. So lots going on. Halloween Hellscape.
Everyone's played Death Stranding but me.
That's not exactly true.
Not in the Death Stranding.
But I just know
club.
That you can't hold an embargo.
I don't care about that, though. I only...
With you, Gary. I'm with
Are you not there either?
No, he didn't want it. I asked him if he wanted a copy.
Why didn't you want a copy?
Because I'm not a Kojima guy.
Fucking give it to me. What are you kidding? You got fucking desperately sitting around.
But I can't trust you with an embargo.
Of course
I know.
You can.
No,
I worked on Star Wars for 5 fucking years.
And now you don't even like Star Wars, you said. Secrets, but again, so. Like I said, original script called The Death Star, Millennium Falcon. Kathleen Kennedy had to be like, Gary, I don't think that's right.
Listen, I don't care about fucking Kojima. I only care about one thing. Kevin knows what it is. Screen cats. Screen cats. I'm fucking doing that. Screen cats.
Until next
there's
time.
No way, there's
gentlemen.
No way out of it. It's I'm not leaving until I see the redesigned logo.
Just cut it. Just cut the show. We're not doing screen cats.
Take your hand. We're not.